I happened to look over and see Lucas Koufax singing, and that melted me today. As I said, Lucas. God is good. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this time, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful worship team, Lord, who week in and week out just brings us praises, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Some kind of siren or something. 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up. Saturday nights are tough for me. I mean, during the week, I'm going to be honest with you, I sleep, man. I sleep 8-9 hours a night next to my little doll. And it's beautiful. But Saturday night is tough. And I woke up this morning at 4 or 5. There's Melissa. I was looking at you. Your son melted me. Your son melted me. Anyway, I woke up this morning and I remember tomorrow, December 11th, 2011 is when I started as a lead pastor here. So it's like a 6-year anniversary. But no, not for that. I didn't want to do it for that. Just to thank the Lord for it. And I thought about last spring when Covenant was here, they had a chapel here and Pastor Keith and I were on stools sitting over there. And the teenagers, it was called Ask the Pastor. And the teenagers are just asking me questions, you know, how old are you? You know, I'm only kidding. But young man asked me, how do you know what to talk about? How do you know what to speak on? And that really melted me. And the first word that came to my mind was, listen. Just listen. You know, stay in the Word, listen, worship. I mean, so many people sitting in this room right here have said things to me that has led me to places in the Bible, led me to scriptures, led me to messages. You know, I believe it was Elizabeth that came up with this theme for Christmas. Isn't there more to Christmas? And then I came up with, well, how can Jesus meet our greatest need? So it's just about listening. It's just about spending time in the Word each day and praying and seeking God, having that moment with you and Him. It might be in a closet. It might be in a room. It might be at the breakfast table. It could be anywhere. Just listen and allow God to speak to you, because the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit makes His home inside of us, and He teaches us, He convicts us, He brings the things of God and makes them known for us. A couple weeks ago, I started this series, you know, how can Jesus meet our greatest needs? And the first one was contentment, our need for contentment. And in 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For you brought nothing out into the world, and there's a storm coming. And, and you can bring nothing away from it. And I've been thinking about that verse, and I feel like I want to tell you, I'm never going to be content with my relationship with God. I am never going to be. I know when it says godliness with contentment, I think Paul was talking there to his protege Timothy to tell him to be content with what you have. And I am very content, very blessed, very thankful, very happy. I wish this mic would stay on my ear better, but praise God. And music. Music is a big part of my life, and I was in a blood, sweat, and tears mood the other day, and I heard a song, and he gave me a message for the teenagers, and I want to read it for you in this song. It says, once I met the devil, he was mighty slick, tempted me with worldly goods, said, you can have your pick. And I'm telling you, the devil is going to be telling you things like that. You can have your pick. But when he laid that paper on me and he showed me where to sign, I said, thank you very kindly, but I'm in too great a need of mine. And I didn't like that last sentence, so I said, thank you very kindly, but I signed up with the King of Kings. Thank you very kindly, but I have Jesus in my heart, and you can go ahead and take that paper back to where you came from, H-E double hockey stick. So remember that. Then I thought about a song for my little girl. Same group. Tell me if you know the song. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. You made me so very happy. You made me so, so very happy, baby. I'm so glad you came into my life. I want to thank you, girl. Every day of my life, you made me so very happy. Then I thought about, you could use this song for your relationship with God. I lost at love before, got mad and closed the door, but you said, try just once more. Jesus said, try just once more. I chose you for the one. Now I'm having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. Jesus, I'm so glad you came into my life. See how music can make a difference in you? Today is Ugly Sweater Day. Bill Cordova IV gave me this from the Huxtable collection. Is where this sweater came from. He has one along with me. Praise God. Thank you so much. I put this on this morning. I said, Kathy, I'm going to win. I'm going to win today with this sweater. Praise God. But I don't think so. Today, really, the message is about peace. How can Jesus meet our needs? Because we want peace. I think about this. Americans live in comfortable homes, but domestic violence is at an all-time high. At an all-time high. Our cities are the most modern in the world, yet the streets are unsafe. Think about it. Our communication technology is unsurpassed, but there's constant misunderstanding going on around this world, around America. We desperately long for peace. The businessman facing pressures of a merger, a homemaker trying to corral all the kids, a student coping with insecurity at school, a single adult desiring a mate. They all want peace. But most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we experience more stress, more frustration, more hostility than peace. Then I thought about sitting in a jail cell in a prison in Rome with a death sentence over his head. The Apostle Paul had all the outward signs that would lead to stress and a lack of peace. But at that time, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. I've been studying. He had been in prison for 4 years already. 4 years. He was dependent upon others for his survival. He was misunderstood. He was opposed by many. He was uncertain about his future. He should have been stressed, but he was not. As we look at these scriptures, he provides us with really some simple yet profound steps to peace. I have 5 steps for you today that I think will help you to have peace in your life. The first one is rejoice no matter what. Rejoice no matter what. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So rejoicing is really a scriptural command for us. So to ignore it really would be a disobedience. Paul's commanding us to release our sense of humor. Find the bright side. Look for the sunny side. Find the joy, delight in laughter. It may be paraphrasing, you could say, Paul saying, don't be uptight. Loosen up. Poke some fun. Laugh freely. Live lightheartedly. And when I think about rejoicing and how it goes along with peace, I really think rejoicing goes along with trials too. There's 5 verses in Romans that have really helped me in my life. The struggles, you know, trying to get pregnant and having a baby. And these 5 verses have helped me through many trials in my life. And in Romans 5:1-5, learn these verses, man. Put them on your heart because they'll help you. Because every one of us here are going to go through trials. Every one of us here are going to go through tough times. And the subtitle of the verses are Peace with God Through Faith. And he says, therefore, since we have been justified with faith, we have peace with God. We can walk out of here today saying, because we've been justified by our faith, we have peace with God. And how does that happen? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice. That's what Paul was getting at. Even though he was in jail for 4 years, even though he probably had been in chains, He would rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. That's what the Bible tells us to do. When you're going through a tough time, a trial, a tragedy, rejoice, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. That's a promise from God's Word. So if you can learn to rejoice no matter what, tough times, good times, trials, hardships you're going through, you're going to gain endurance, you're going to gain character and hope. And the New American Standard Bible, I love it because it says proven character. Endurance, proven character and hope. Then I thought about this analogy for those of you that have gardens and try to grow grass and stuff. Rejoicing is to the soul what aeration is to a lawn. Aeration pokes holes in the lawn to loosen the soil so that it can breathe, so the roots of the grass can grow and the lawn can become healthier. Check it out. That's like biblical. Planting is like biblical. Look at the shallow roots. If you allow them to be shallow and you don't allow aeration, which you could really say the Holy Spirit, which you could really say fellowship with, really say the Word, you're going to grow. Your roots will grow deeper and you'll be closer to God, and your lawn's going to look great, and your heart will as well. So one, rejoice no matter what. Step two, don't be anxious. This is for me, my friends. Don't be anxious. He says it in the first part of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Worry and anxiety are a great source of stress. Am I right or not? Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for us to have. When you worry, you're really playing God, trying to control the uncontrollable. Believe me, I've been there. Worry is worthless. It cannot change the past or control the future. It only messes us up right now in the present. It's an incredible waste of energy. Worry divides the mind. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So poor in the spirit, I really think, is the opposite of self-sufficiency. It describes those who are acutely conscious of their own lostness and hopelessness apart from that divine grace He gives us. How do you know you're not yet poor in spirit? And I really think the answer is because you're rich in worry. Because you're rich in worry. We get our English word worry from the German word wurgen, which means to strangle or to choke. Worry is like weeds in a lawn. Weeds will choke the grass out. Left unattended, a lawn will eventually return to a pasture of reeds. Weeds. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Have you ever got down and looked at your lawn like that? I haven't. That's what worry does to our lives. I found in one sentence, six things that worry does. And there's some fill-ins for you. Worry chokes out our joy. Worry stifles our spirit. Worry harasses us mentally. Worry strings us out emotionally. Worry strangles us spiritually and diminishes our motivation. There's six things that worry does. Think about it. So don't be anxious. Rejoice about everything. Don't be anxious. Step three, pray about everything. Everything. The last part of verse 6 in Philippians says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." With the stresses of life, we have two options. We either panic or pray. We try to deal with them ourselves, or we try to turn them over for God. It's so important. I mean, it happened to me this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in here setting up, and I go over and I see, well, there's only one paper towel up in the kitchen. We have two. I go down and look for paper towels. No paper towels. I panic. We got a big lunch today. We got people coming here today. We're not going to have any paper towels, so I panic. So I went in for prayer, and Shelby straightened me out. You going to panic or are you going to pray? And what do we do? Pray. And all these napkins came to my mind. But anyway, praise God. Pray about everything. I have trouble between Martha and Mary. I'm a Martha. Amen. You know, I'm a Martha. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a Martha. I'm trying to do things, take care of things, be there for things. And Mary, she just prayed. Mary just sat at Jesus' feet and just prayed. If we spend our time praying instead of worrying, we'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Is that a true statement or not? And I figured out the word everything has a deep meaning. It means everything. Isn't that exciting? Tony Evans says, if your car fails, you go to a mechanic. If your house breaks down, you call a handyman. If your body breaks down, you go to a doctor. If your clothes are torn, you go to a tailor. If your grades aren't working, you go to a tutor. Well, what do you do if your life breaks down? When it's a spiritual issue, only God can fix it. Anything you use to fix a problem in your life cannot compete with the presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? When you need to fix your life, there's no better solution than the divine intervention. We're to pray about everything, not just religious stuff. God is interested in every detail. And speaking of details, the word supplication, or some versions use petition, means to be specific, to be detailed, to make a detailed request. One of my favorite songs was growing up was Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the Temptations. I love the Temptations. Some of the words in that song says, if I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind because you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg. And I thought about those lyrics and I think God is looking for some Christians that ain't too proud to beg. That ain't too proud to plead. That ain't too proud to pay. Pray. Get specific with God. Tell Him exactly what you desire and what you need. Most people pray vague and general prayers that are lifeless and powerless to root out the weeds of worry in the lawn of our life. We need healthy grass. And I thought about that John 7:38. It's not on the screen. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, rivers of living water. It's a beautiful place to be in your relationship with God. Rivers of living water. And you think about it, water is essential to a healthy lawn. Water loosens the soil, nourishes the roots, and provides nitrogen and oxygen to the grass. And because of the abundance of rain or a sprinkler system, the grass is healthy and lush. Prayer is like rain. God showers us with His blessings, raining down His care upon us. Step four, think positively. We need that in this generation. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, verse 8 in Philippians 4, whatever's just, pure, lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If we were honest, we could spend the rest of our lives just thanking the Lord and what He's doing, what He has done, and what He's going to do. And when I read that verses, I don't think Paul's telling us there to behave differently. He's instructing us to think differently. Instead of focusing on the negative and reviewing everything that could go wrong, Nick, think positive. Think happy thoughts. It sounds like almost like an advice from a greeting card. But thinking happy and calming thoughts can counteract the psychological changes that occur when we're under stress. Philippians 4:8 is like a nutrient list on a fertilizer bag. It tells us exactly which thoughts to supply in order to grow a peaceful and stress-free life. Thoughts are, and I thought about these adjectives, they're true, consistent with God and His Word, noble, worthy of respect, right, just, pure, morally clean, lovely, pleasing, gracious, admirable, highly regarded, excellent, top quality, praiseworthy, deserving of high recognition. Our thinking might not clear up immediately. Regrowing a lawn takes some time and effort too. But once it's done, the maintenance is a whole lot easier. Think about it. When a weed invades a healthy lawn, it's obvious. But if a weed appears in a larger batch of weeds, it just blends in with all the rest, and we're overwhelmed. That's a pretty bad looking lawn, man. Think about it. We don't want to be like everybody else. We want to be followers of Christ. We want to be so set on living out His good and pleasing and perfect will. We want those streams of living water flowing out of our hearts and our minds and our mouths so we can make a difference for Him. A thought of worry is more obvious when the mind is filled with peace. As thoughts become more peaceful, worry becomes a trigger that reminds us to analyze our thinking. The last step, step number 5, reap the benefits of peace. He says in verses 7 and 9 of Philippians 4, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," I'm talking about all understanding, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What you have learned and received," he says in verse 9, "and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you forever." He's in a jail cell. He's been in there for 4 years. And he writes, "What you have learned and received from me and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The peace of God is going to guard your hearts and your minds. The word "guard" is really a military word meaning to guard or post a sentinel. The Philippians knew the word "guard" because they knew the Roman legion kept the peace in Philippi. In a like manner, God will guard our minds and hearts when we have a relationship with Him and trust Him moment by moment. And you're listening, God, I put, when stressful events of life come, God will put a garrison, a sentry guard around our hearts when worry comes knocking at the doors. He'll protect us with our peace. In closing, I want to say this. You all want to get ready. The God of peace will be with us. Not only do we have protection from God, we have the presence of God. Think about it. That's why we do worship here every week, so that you can sense the presence of God. Amber and the team, when they're leading us, they're leading us to the presence of God. They're leading us to the throne. They're leading us to the altar so we can come and ask God to give us peace in our hearts when we're having this trouble, when things come in our mind. So the God of peace will be with us. Not only do we have protection from God, we have the presence of God. Just as He was with the children of Israel in the desert, just as He was with Paul in prison, as He is with us here when we face disappointments, when we face problems, when we face stresses of life, that is the one promise that we can count on. That He will be here with us. Think about it. How can Jesus bring our greatest needs, meet our greatest needs? It's with peace because He's here with us. What a better guarantee do we need than having Christ in our hearts? Come on up, ushers. Thank you so much. Father, thank You for this time, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You are the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Peace. It was told beforehand by the prophets 700 years before You even came to earth. And every year we're going to celebrate Your birth, Lord. Because You came here lying in a manger, in a poor stable with poor people. But You brought Your presence to earth, Father. And we thank You for that and we celebrate that. Father, I pray that as we take our offering that You bless us in a mighty way. Thank You. Thank You so much for this building. Thank You for this opportunity for us to come and gather. Thank You for this opportunity of St. Michael's Academy being a part of our team now and having their school here, Father. We're blessed to partner with them, Father, because we want nothing else but to bring Your truth inside these walls. We want nothing else but prepare the adults and the teenagers and the children to go out with what You bless us with, to go out with the peace of God and share the gospel. Father, so I just ask that you bless this time. We open up our altars for those who need prayer. We want nothing else but to be prayer warriors for you, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.